John, today we are going to get another chapter in what our friend Dante Cheney calls our patchwork nation. It really involves looking past whether a state is Democratic or Republican. And it's a project he directs for the Christian Science Monitor. The latest chapter today is what he calls Minority Central, looking at communities with large pockets of African Americans and also communities with large pockets of Native American voters. Good morning, Dante, and welcome back as always.
Good morning, and thanks.
So describe what Minority Central means in your definition.
Well, Minority Central, the way we define it is these African-American and Native American communities around the country, counties with large African-American and Native American populations. They tend to be slightly below the average median household income, and they're places that are dealing a lot with issues of race and a lot with issues of poverty.
And essentially, you're really describing pockets within counties, 408 of them, actually, that potentially are majority white, but you have these pockets of people of color.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
And so what are some of the issues that you've come across they have in common, both those that have pockets of Native American populations and those that have pockets of African American populations?
Well, obviously, when you're dealing with these places, if you look on the map to even where they sit on the website, these are places. A lot of these places are dealing with poverty as a big issue, and disparities. There are real income disparities between the people, the haves and the have-nots in these places. Even though the median household income in these places is below the national average, there are exceptions. There are places where people are doing a little better.
Well, let's listen to a bit of an interview of someone who's working with you, Ed Pratt, who's a media relations director at Southern University in Baton Rouge, and he's a blogger for the Patchwork Nation Project.
You have communities here where the immediacy of a problem is more important than this longer-term problem. The cost of food, the cost of gas, the cost of buying a new car, the cost of maintaining a home. Those things affect the communities here more than you would probably think the collapse on Wall Street.
So he's describing how these communities would relate to the big stories of what's happening on Wall Street. How also do they differ from other communities?
Well, the one thing that's really been interesting looking at these places and places like them, we have a couple different types of communities where the incomes are a little lower is, economically, these places have been hit all year long by the slowdown. So the Wall Street thing that's happening now, which is a huge issue, obviously, these are places where people don't have as many 401ks or a lot of stock. So they've been feeling it all along in the things that Ed's talking about. The other issues they face are, like other poorer communities, education is a very big issue in places like this. And trying to help the next generation climb out of the situation they're in, and it's not easy. There isn't a lot of money to really make the schools better in these places.
Are there particular issues in those places where you have African American pockets that differ from those communities where you have Native American pockets?
Yeah, well, the racial issues are obviously different. I mean, we ended up having to group these two types of places together, Native American and African American counties, just because when we created these things, we had to keep the number of groups somewhat limited, or it was just going to become extremely difficult to handle. The majority of these places are places with large African American populations, but the difference is obviously, because I do get out west and I go through some of the communities where you have large Native American populations, the tensions are nothing like what you have, especially when you get into the deep south between blacks and whites.
And that's where Ed Pratt is. He's down in Baton Rouge. And how does that play itself out when you're talking about communities where you have working class whites and blacks living together and basically competing for the same economic resources?
Right. That's really what drives a lot of the tension in these places. Because the places aren't well off, you've got people essentially, but all of them kind of struggling to kind of make it. And what happens in those kind of situations, obviously, is when you can't make it, you start looking at maybe, quote-unquote, why you can't make it. And I think a lot of times the tendency is to point to the person that's not like you. And I think that that's one reason, and I'm sure Ed would agree with this, why the tensions run so high in places like Baton Rouge.
Just Just real quickly, in terms of the election, how do these racial tensions play out when you have an African-American running for president in the Democratic Party?
That's really going to be interesting to see. That's one of the things we want to find out. Baton Rouge, we think, in these minority central communities. In the past, these places, because they're majority white, have tended to go Republican. The question is, what happens now when you have a Barack Obama on the ticket? Can they drive up the African-American turnout enough to maybe flip some of these places?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously, it's going to be interesting to talk to Ed afterwards, just what the atmosphere was like down in Baton Rouge on that day.
All right. Well, we're going to keep your number on our Rolodex, Dante.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Dante Chinney, the director of the Christian Science Monitor's Patchwork Nation Project.